Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium for the next 90 seconds.
You know what we haven't had on the Video Nasty Project in quite some time? That would be a movie chock-a-block full of sexual deviancy. But that's okay, we're making up for lost time with tonight's movie, The Black Room, full of incest and rape and murder and all sorts of fun stuff like that. Why don't you check out the trailer? We'll be back in 1 second.
Wow. This place is really something else. So many candles. It's like something out of a dream. I'll take it.
Are there any restrictions?
Restrictions?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Do to me what you do to the other women.
I couldn't do that to you. It wouldn't be right. You're my wife.
You're coming on like it's for real. I keep telling you, it's a fantasy.
How far are you going?
How far do you want to go?
Is it?
Yes.
I'll go as far as you want. I do have this... Well, this nice little place we can go to.
I thought he told you.
What?
We're brother and sister. Jason's been sick all his life. Oh, it's a very rare blood disease. He has to constantly replenish his blood. Every 60 days.
Tell me about your back room.
What? What about it?
The for real.
That son of a bitch. Would you like to go with me to the room?
Yeah, I'm game.
Welcome back. Me and Ashley, we just got done seeing The Black Room.
Yeah. That's kind of the... That's about as much as you get out of that. It's kind of... Okay, The Black Room. All right.
Okay, so you have the first party. You have Larry and his wife. And... they are caught in this sexual unsatisfaction. Basically, they're being cock-blocked by their kids at every turn.
Oh, yeah.
Their kids are, what, 5 or 8, thereabouts.
Always looking for attention.
And they're always busting into the room saying, Mommy, he pooped the bed! You know, right when they're in the off to Never
yeah,
Neverland.
About to bust.
So all of a sudden, Larry gets a case of blue balls. He finds an ad in the Hollywood Reporter that says something to the effect of, hey, swingers, you want to come to our place? Come to our place and swing, basically.
So he goes to this mansion to rent a room for a few hundred bucks a month in the Hollywood Hills, run by this very suave pair, brother and sister.
Jason and Bridget.
Mm-hmm. And he gets trapped, essentially, in this kind of madness where he enters this. He's shown the room. He loves it immediately. It's all black. It's got a translucent white table.
There's candles rectangle. Everywhere.
Yeah, it's very gothic. It's like something out of a completely different movie, but it's exactly what you want in a film like this. So it was perfectly done for the 70s.
He rents out the sex dungeon for $200 a month. And then he starts cruising the Hollywood Strip, finding schoolgirls, finding tourists, finding whoever he can lure back to his sex dungeon to have whoopee with.
Meanwhile, the brother and sister are taking victims after they've kind of reached their climax or are in the middle of it in flagrant delicto. And kidnap, basically get a kind of chloroform and take him away.
They're using Larry to lure people into their web, and then they take the people into their back room and they plug them into this siphoning machine where they kind of transfuse the blood out of them.
It's like one of those things where they drain the blood out of people before they make them up to be buried.
Yeah, the embalming machine, basically. Yeah. So they pump all the blood out, and poor old Jason, he has a disease, or so Bridget says, that he needs a transfusion every 6 months or so. And so, after they suck the fuck buddy dry, they plug him into the machine and pump all the fresh, nubile blood into him.
And so, in the meantime, the marriage is disintegrating, and the wife finds out that her husband is being unfaithful to her. So she goes up and checks it out and eventually gets pulled into the whole deal and then starts having it with the brother. And when her husband finds out, he hits the frickin' roof. Oh, I didn't expect you were going to come up here and do the things I've been doing like a hypocrite that I am. You know, I get pissed off when women do the things guys do all the time.
So he's crazy misogynist, and basically, if you are deriving pleasure from this act, then the act is obviously filthy and immoral, even though he's been doing the exact same thing this whole time.
I did it for you, you know, that kind of the excuse for having pleasure at somebody else's expense.
And so the movie winds up with Larry and Robin falling into the sick couple's trap. And basically, they figure out what's going on. They find out, oh, crap, they're using us for their own benefit. And eventually, Robin and Larry, they get the hell away from the vampires after killing them, or so we think. But then it turns out to be a twist ending where they really are supernatural and dead. Yeah. Or so we think.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of out of nowhere. I mean, I guess we all should have expected it was going to be something like this, since it is a horror movie and all bets are off.
But up to that point, they hadn't really exhibited any vampiric tendencies. It's vampires, but they're not really vampires. They're not your Bela Lugosi's or your Christopher Lee's, where they're turn into bats, turn into mist, hypnotize you, that sort of thing.
It was unexpected. I thought they were goners, and then they got up and walked again. I was like, oh, okay, they're actually undead in the way that even when you basically kill them, like you kill a vampire, they're not really dead. They're just gonna wander forever until they get more blood.
So vampire movies, we can both agree, are inherently sexualized, right? Mm-hmm. Even going all the way back to Lugosi, and, I mean, Lugosi, okay, for the 30s, he was a pretty sexy dude.
I mean, he had the raw appeal, and he had that voice, and, you know, a lot of women just lost their shit.
This takes those vampiric sexualized themes and really turns them on their ear. Because there's a lot of sexuality in this movie, all throughout. There's the vanilla sexuality from Larry and Robin. There's the two incestual freaks getting their freak on. Their relationship is very damaged.
And then you have, whenever Larry gets somebody to come up there to the house to seduce, it's more the love man cave.
But this is the first vampire movie that I can think of that is as sleazy and torrid as this one is. This one is really dark and bleak and very sexually frank.
It fits right in there with anything that came out of the 70s with the clothing style and the whole free, liberated sexuality.
That's where I'm thinking of more than the actual it feels like a disco movie versus it feels like it's the themes of the 70s. It's sexually free. You think of AIDS was just kind of becoming its own thing. And so there's that going on underneath. There's a lot of incest. There's a lot of voyeurism. There's a lot of sexual permissiveness that you wouldn't get in the 80s.
Yeah, a lot of promiscuity. And, you know, the whole libertine thing, you know, and hedonism. I mean, that was definitely a thing of the 70s.
And actually, hedonism and libertine is exactly what I would use to describe our sibling pair. Because they are very much a, whatever makes you feel good, do it. To the expense of anybody and anyone else. You've got the brother, he's very much a voyeur. He is very much always taking pictures of her sister's sexual conquest. There's that one scene where Larry and her are out in the garden, and he's up on the balcony, and you just kind of see him in rack focus where he's snapping vigorously with his camera.
And when Robin comes to the house to find out what the hell's going on with Larry, she meets up with the brother, and he shows her around, and he's got a one-way mirror, essentially, where he snaps photos in the room, in the black room, through this one-way mirror so that he can get all the voyeuristic, you know, cheese that he needs.
That's when Robin finds out exactly what dear old Larry is up to, because he shows her through the one-way mirror Larry fucking some prostitute or something. Yeah. And she's like, first she's shocked, and then she's all like, you know, maybe I can get into this.
She basically gets her revenge. It's like, well, he can do it. I can do it. I mean, what the fuck? All bets are off. I'm taking the gloves off now.
So it gets back to the movie being very sexually liberated and frank.
And you don't see that a lot in movies these days. Back in those days, it was common. It was more, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And now everybody has to take a better path instead of getting the revenge or just try to, you know, sit down and talk. But back in those days, fuck, counterfuck.
And the interesting thing is, the movie doesn't necessarily demonize Larry. You notice that, yeah, he does a whole bunch of reprehensible stuff, but it doesn't necessarily paint him as a sleazy pervert. It's just kind of matter of fact, he's a frustrated dude. He's just getting it wherever he can.
Well, that's the whole 70s attitude, you know, the selfishness was in. You know, it led into the greed is in 80s, but first there was the selfishness of, well, I'm going to get mine. And since it was coming out of the 60s with the whole free love thing, that evolved it completely into the sex and the swingers. Swinging was huge back then. My God.
What this movie does, on the other hand, unlike those other movies, is it allows them to be sexually healthy, which was an interesting take. Because, so here is Robin and Larry's relationship, and they're all broken up, and it's a very dysfunctional relationship. But the black room, this permissiveness, lets them restore balance to their sex life. They are off doing this fantasy outside of and away from their kids.
So it liberates them, but at the same time, there's a downside. I mean, with the sex, you get the death, which they don't see themselves. I mean, they only experience the good part, and then the murderers take it upon themselves to do what... And I don't even know if I would go so far as to call them murderers as much as predators.
Well, depends if you buy into the vampire mentality or if they are actually vampires, because vampires never really see themselves as prey and predator. They're just the higher life form.
Well, if we're taking the end of the movie seriously, where they get up and walk after being killed, then they're either undead revenants, or functionally immortal, or they're vampires, or they didn't kill them. They really injured them real badly, but they got back up and they're just stronger because they've been consuming a lot of blood, and blood is the life and all that stuff. The whole, you know, life force makes you stronger. If you consume others, then you weaken them and you strengthen yourself, kind of deal. So I think that in the most strict sense of the word, this really is a movie about disco swingers. It's a metaphor.
Yeah, it really is a metaphor for the coming of age from the 70s to the 80s, the AIDS thing.
The drug taking,
the permissiveness, the death of permissiveness, because the 80s were a little more less liberal and more conservative.
Yeah, the bloodletting can clearly be a replacement for drug taking, bringing young people into this and ruining them by exposing them to this thing and essentially killing them with drugs.
And the other thing that was about to change was that after Friday the 13th dropped, all of a sudden, sex equals death. So that's what we would be getting in the slasher movies in the 80s. That is the opposite message that this movie is giving you.
Even though John Carpenter did the thing with sex is death, he really didn't push it so much. In fact, it was so post facto that it was almost irrelevant to the plot of thinking that these kids are doing it so they get killed. It was more they did it, and then they just were unaware of badness around the corner. Not like the murders were happening the entire time, and then suddenly, bam, it's more like a buildup. Whereas in Friday the 13th, the murders have already happened halfway into the film, then you get the sex equals death thing, so it was a buildup. Whereas with Halloween, it was more sporadic.
And if anything, the events in the Black Room are going to be more of their undoing of their sexual relationship, their newfound freedom.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an interesting reversal of that message.
But they do end up getting it together. I mean, they basically emerge stronger, I think, in their relationship after this ends. They basically go back to the way they were after they have, together, they've taken out these bad guys. They do it as a couple. It's therapy. So they've exited this tunnel of infidelity, and both of them having gotten their big O on their own, then they come back and they have a better relationship.
And it certainly lets Larry get past his Madonna whore complex, which, okay, a bit of Freud here. The Madonna whore complex is that you can only see women in two ways. Either the completely untouchable Madonna figure or the absolute filthy, disgusting whore. So in Larry's mind, women were either one category or the other. And their events in the Black Room allowed him to get over that.
So basically he's seeing women as complete people, not just a vessel for pleasure
or exactly. worship. So he is coming away from their libertine ideals to a more conservative, healthy relationship point of view.
And now they stop swinging and they go back to the things being the way they were.
And hopefully they'll put a lock on their bedroom door so that the kids will be stuck outside and not blueballing them from this point on.
Or maybe get a babysitter, send them to the babysitter's house. Not, you know, they can get some.
Or a romantic night out. Hell, just go down to the Motel 6 and $9.98
get
you a room with no kids and all the sex you could want.
Or go to a safe dungeon someplace in L.A. There you go.
I understand they've had one or two of those in L.A. probably.
Oh, probably a few thousand scattered about somewhere.
So that's the themes and whatnot of the movie that we've gotten into. Let's get into the technical aspect because, okay, we saw it on a super shitty VHS rip, so it was really dark and hard to see, which kind of accented the Black Room theme anyway.
The tawdriness.
But I did like the design of, like, the Black Room.
Oh, yeah.
That white table and all the candles and everything. I mean, it was a great set.
This is a nouveau gothic castle kind of deal with the whole motif of this room, and it's very well suited for a vampire tale, but at the same time retains that whole modern day quality they had back then. So it really, really works. I mean, they found a perfect balance, and I did like the cinematography in this. They had some really good shots.
The first early use I can think of a Steadicam.
Yeah.
Because that's the only reason you're getting cameras gliding up and down the corridors.
Mm-hmm. They took a cue from Halloween, and it really paid off. And I think that a lot of the, I like the sound design for some of this. It's really creepy.
Yeah, there were a couple of weird instances. Like there was that one time they're at breakfast and Robin accidentally cuts her finger. And then all of a sudden off of the distance, you hear echoey sirens. Or like when Larry goes to the sex dungeon one of the times and the brother comes up and out of nowhere jump scares him, there's this eagle sound.
Yeah.
So there's some weird Foley choices which kind of give you the what the fuck is going on.
And I like the I like the sound the centrifuge or the embalming machine makes. There's a similar movie about basically killing people with a centrifuge machine Kiss Me Deadly. And apparently the best actor in that movie was the young actor who played a victim who gets, he's a young gay prostitute, and the actor actually ended up doing gay porn afterward. But he gets killed by one of the lead bad guy by getting hooked up to a bloodletting machine and drained. And it's freaking terrifying. I had to watch that over and over again. I felt so bad for this character. And they end the scene with the sound of this machine just drawing the blood out. This ding, 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 clicking, you know, sound, hollow metal sound. And this movie has a similar setup, different sounding machine, but it immediately took me back to that other older movie. Slightly older. It was also a 70s film.
So the movie, at least on a technical level, is well done to a point.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got the issue of the shitty VHS transfer to overcome, but otherwise, I think it looked pretty decent.
Yeah, and they did get away from the house. I mean, they did go and do some other locations down in L.A. or around Hollywood or wherever when Larry has to pick up victims. And I'm never going to know what the hell this guy does for a living. I mean, he reminds me either of a writer or a cartoonist or something.
He might have been some sort of big money roller, kind of like your architect from like the Brady Bunch or something.
Yeah, somebody who makes a lot of money, can afford a nice car, and lives in, you know, married and has kids. I mean, he does typical stuff. I just wanted a little more character background, I guess, just to know what he does and why he can afford to have two places.
Yeah, they don't really get into any of the character development. They are really just puppets of meat walking in front of the camera.
I mean, he clearly makes a lot of money. $200 a month for a room was a lot of money back in the 70s or the early 80s.
But you never get into Robin's backstory either, mm-hmm. other than she's a frustrated housewife.
Yeah.
You never really get into the siblings other than they're vampires, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, I would have liked to know more about where they're from. I mean, they have interesting accents and everything. They sound kind of Central European, or maybe Western Europe.
I think the movie works as it is without getting into all that baggage and backstory. I mean, yeah, the movie would have been stronger if you had more investment in the characters, but I think it was fine enough.
And it wouldn't have been the kind of movie you go to see at, you know, midnight.
This is true. It's not very exploitational to actually spend time on your script as opposed to just churning out another movie.
Fortunately, this movie does not feel slapped together. It doesn't feel like a series of instances, you know, running along a forward trajectory. It actually has a plot, quote unquote. It just kind of feels a little dull in places.
So you got any final thoughts on the movie?
It's a product of its time, definitely. I mean, this is one of the most 70s, early 80s movies that I've seen that isn't just a psychodrama or a disco movie or, you know, one of those made-for-TV 70s movies like Condominium.
It's not shot like a made-for-TV movie at all. There's actual construction to the lighting. There's actual composition to the shots. So it's much more than just your average Condominium.
Yeah, I mean, it's very modern. I mean, I could see this movie, if you removed all the sickness from it, being just a psychodrama. I mean, there's nothing to say anything out of the ordinary happens in this if you remove the bloodletting.
Yeah, with just a couple of tweaks, you could easily show this to your mother.
Yeah, it's very safe otherwise. It's like one of those movies you get on those midnight drive-in or the multi-packs, you know, going down the road kind of movie in the van, sort of adventure 70s, you know, sex farce or something.
It just has a bunch of themes and ideas and concepts in here that would be deeply offensive and disgusting to the average person, who's not you and me.
If I didn't know any better and there was no blood in this, I wouldn't call it The Black Hugo, I'd call it like The Pickup or something.
That would be an AIP movie. You're in the wrong studio, foul. All right. Toodles, we'll catch you next week.
Bye.
That sounds like an episode then. So, Ashley, if you were the boys in blue, would you seize the black room?
No. It's really mild. I mean, a lot of the violence in this is post facto. I mean, they never really show much of the bloodletting. I mean, there is some, but they never go overboard with it. It's done in cuts, quick cuts and everything. More implication than anything.
The movie is violent, yes, but it's not gory. It's sexually frank, but it's not explicit and obscene. Right. So I could see why somebody would be twigged out by this, because it does tick all the right boxes.
This is more to shock, but in the way that's, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming, versus, ugh.
I wouldn't necessarily seize a movie just because it's sleazy and sexually disgusting.
Even when it's the wife who's been, you know, neglected, getting some finally. They don't even show anything. They block most of the body with that table. And so it's mere implication. They could be wearing bikinis and shorts back there.
All right, so you wouldn't seize it. I wouldn't seize it. This case is dismissed, acquitted. Mm-hmm. Did you like The Black Room?
It was all right. It's more of a, it's higher than a meh, but meh at the very least.
It's a very strong meh for you. You know, actually, I kind of concur with that. The first time I wound up watching this movie, I absolutely hated this flick. It was just relentlessly boring without any point to it whatsoever. I had to wind up watching it a second time just because reasons. And when I wound up watching it a second time, I was much more favorable towards the movie. So I think it's a definitely you got to watch it a couple of times.
Yeah, I mean, just to get everything. I mean, there's a lot going on, but it's kind of they front load a little bit of stuff and then they put a lot of stuff in the middle when they start mixing up the characters, bringing the wife into everything, and then they kind of string it along towards the end and then bam, you know, they kind of hit you again.
We'll catch you next week.
All right.
All right, kids, that about wraps it up for The Black Room. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to check back in here again next week, because next week we're going to be watching Bloodlust, a.k.a. Mosquito the Rapist, which is, I guess, apparently about a mosquito who rapes people. And that's just fucking weird. In the meantime, you will now drop me an email, thevideonastyproject@gmail.com, and we'll catch you next week. And until that time, I command thee, stay evil.